Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey, waking.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
And the Fed and the Med as we begin Advanced Medicine Monday on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I'm not one that wants to see suffering among the people, but this economy of fiat money has got to end. Why do I say that now as we kick in this Monday? Because the Senate committee just passed a bill giving FDA $50 million more for 2012. $50 million more. Like, they didn't have enough in the billions that they get and spend. Why? Because they got to. They've got to crack down on those of you out there who believe that food is your medicine, and that medicine is your food. This is all for the Food Tyranny Act, the Food Safety Modernization Act, etc. While the rest of the government is supposed to be freezing, while Obama says, yes, we're in crisis, while the Democrats say, yes, we're in crisis, while the Republicans say, yes, we're in crisis, they increase the budget of the Fear and Death Administration. Senate committee passes bill giving FDA $50 million bump for fiscal year 2012. The bill would provide a total of $19.78 billion in fiscal year 2012 to the FDA. $20 billion! You see, this is your government on drugs, those of you listening in the United States. This has to end, and it's not going to end until you pull the plug on their ability to do this outside of the realm of reality. Creating money out of thin air is a disaster. It is enslaving the people to a medical and pharmaceutical and military industrial complex. And as I kick, I'm telling you, man, I didn't want to start out intense on money. We're going to calm it down, I promise. And just to let you know, this week on the Robert Scott Bell Show, I'm gonna be in and out of town a lot. I've got a lot of fantastic interviews that are set up already in the can, and I'll be doing some reports from the road as well. And we're getting some things, including this week we're going to cover the AIDS issue like nowhere else in media as we reveal new video from the film House of Numbers on viral isolation. You will be shocked. Maybe. Longtime listeners might not be, but some of you may be shocked to find out that the HIV, so-called HIV, has not even been isolated. You are going to hear about that planning for Wednesday. As well as we got Dr. Pitar coming back this hour, of course. Next hour, I apologize. Next hour, he's going to be with me. We're going to talk about health healing. We'll talk more Ron Paul, Michelle Bachman, HPV. You want to get into that. And the whole paradigm of healing. This hour, however, Dr. Margaret Cochran returns. She's wonderful. We're going to talk about, remember, I talked about the story from, I guess, a few weeks back now. 50%, one out of every two Americans going to be mentally ill. They need psychiatric drugs. Then the week later, 40% of all Europeans. The DSM manual, the prescribing manual. And then we had this absurd expansion of details of how many things can be reimbursed via these insurance codes. We got strange insurance codes as well. All of this tied together to global harmonization, which indeed is tied together to the FDA's increased budget to enforce edicts that will deliberately eliminate supplements. 50, 60, 75% of all dietary supplements in America will become, boom, gone. Have you put your comments in through the ANH, through the Life Extension Foundation? Have you seen the reports there on Natural News? This is a clarion call. It is time to eliminate their ability to enslave you. There is no other candidate. I cannot say this any more clearly. Even Michelle Bachmann, I'll give her her props for challenging on the HPV issue. She does not understand economics the way that Congressman Dr. Ron Paul does. And right now, if you don't have anybody or somebody, one person in the executive branch that gets it and begins to roll it back, say bye-bye, America. Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. The pie that will now become genetically modified will replace the organic one, which some would argue has been replaced a long time ago. This is a place you come for health, freedom, and liberty in media. And as I said, this week, exciting mix of a lot of great interviews, great guests, including some shocking revelations in the world of HIV and AIDS that will empower you and friends and loved ones, anybody you know impacted or affected by this, tested, etc. You will want to listen because the life you save may be your own or someone you love and care about. This is the kind of stuff we got, major breaking stuff this week. Go to robertscottbell.com to stay up with all of the news, as well as those of you who are already listening through naturalnewsradio.com. Grateful that you're there every day. Please enter your email address for your daily alerts there as well. Also, SaneVax, man, rocking the health world. Leslie Carroll both and Norm Erickson and the gang there. My goodness, putting the challenge out to the medical authorities. Where is your conscience? Where are they? It was like, where's the person that claimed that to Michelle Bachmann that their child is mentally retarded because they got an HPV shot? These are criminally insane people that are asking these questions. Don't they know that brain encephalopathy can result in all kinds of brain aberrations, including mental retardation? We're going to talk more about that with Dr. Bitar in a little while as well. But first up, Margaret Cochran. Dr. Cochran returns, and she's wonderful. There's an article that we published first and foremost right here on robertscottbell.com. I have the link in today's notes to it. You're going to understand the prescribing manual, the DSM, how they're relating it all to drugs. And mental health is not about communicating, mental, emotional health, nutritional health. It's all about drug deficiencies, but not here, not now, not ever, not on the Robert Scott Bell Show. 866-939-BELL if you'd like to be part of it today. 866-939-2355, 24/7. You can leave me a message, and we'll see if we can get your calls, questions on. Thank you for being here. I'm going to be traveling this week, but we're going to try to get you the best of all worlds here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, as we do every day. And this is where the power to heal is yours. I'm just here to remind you. We're coming right back after this break. Say thanks to our sponsors. Then I've got Dr. Margaret Cochran.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Way's most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The CDC recently released a report that said half of all Americans will be diagnosed with some sort of psychiatric disorder. And then following up on that a week later, guess what? The European Union said the same thing, except it was only 40%. Somehow, they're 10% better than us in Europe, those of you. I don't know what's going on here, except that the CDC is involved and the World Health Organization is involved. So you know there are drugs not far behind. And that's why I've asked Dr. Margaret Cochran to join me again on the Robert Scott Bell Show. She focal points on non-drug solutions whenever and all possible. And we appreciate her dearly for that. Dr. Cochran, welcome back to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, look, I saw these things, and it somehow related to something that the average layperson doesn't know about called a DSM, some kind of manual for prescribing drugs. And I want to get into that as well, because I think it's all related here. But I don't think it's an accident that suddenly the CDC releases a report that said about half all Americans are going to have a psychiatric illness. And then, well, a week later, 40% of all Europeans. And we've seen the intermingling of the pharmaceutical and psychiatric industrial complex with the organizations, be it CDC and or WHO, and this promotion of a drug everything that moves ideology. And of course, that's not something you or I would agree with. I recognize I like the free marketplace to have options, but for the most part, we talk in terms of nutritional deficiencies, toxic metal proficiencies, and other things. But what do you sense is going on here with the release of the CDC and WHO report?
Well, actually, there are a number of things. It's a multifaceted issue. One of the things, honestly, Robert, is that we have now outdistanced our evolution. The things that we demand of ourselves and our brains are not prepared to do. And as a result of that, they break down. For example, there's something called your dorsal lateral prefrontal cortex, and that's right in the front of your brain. And it's the part of your brain that kind of takes in new information and sorts things out and helps you figure out, what am I going to do with these pieces? How do I route this to other parts of the brain? And if you live in a world, as most of us do, where you're constantly bombarded with email and Twitter and voicemail and phone calls and people who say you can't take a vacation without taking your laptop and you have to keep working till 2 o'clock in the morning so that your boss sees that you're online all this time so that they believe that you're productive, you're going to break down. Period, end of sentence.
Well, that breakdown is something that I don't know if that's what they're indicating. I certainly don't think that they're acknowledging the causes that you've referenced here and that you've seen. But certainly, I would posit this, that as we talked even last time you were on the show, that by and large, none of these mental disorders are evidence of a lack of, for instance, a selective serotonin reuptake inhibiting drug, even though some people might say, well, in this case, it's warranted. I would say in very rare instances, it might be helpful, but it's truly not getting at the heart of what you've even referenced is really the problem.
Well, the key is, no matter what labels there are to apply, the key is the responsible use of them, no matter what you're talking about. And the big deal is you need to be able to see the whole person. You need to understand them emotionally. You need to understand them physiologically. In my practice at Saratoga Family Health Center, that's our whole focus, is to look at the whole person, not try and take you and fit you into a diagnostic box. It's about trying to find that magic formula of exercise, diet, supplements, possibly medication if it's warranted, to get you back to your best self. But frequently, there are lifestyle changes that need to be made, and, yes. and people are unwilling and even, Robert, mm-hmm. afraid to make them.
Sure. Fear is a big thing. We just passed, you know, within the last week or so, the 9/11 10-year anniversary, and there's a lot of stress involved in that, and a lot of the reports coming from government, as they say, be calm, don't succumb to the fear, but yet their pronouncements are trying to induce fear. It's kind of this weird message, be afraid, but go shopping. you know, what's really important in life here. I remember when these things are happening, and I think so many of these mixed messages, even as you said, in the workplace, the demands, what it's far out of balance to what was, I guess, much of the history of the human species was not all about what we have come to realize, I guess, or what we have come to experience life today as.
Well, part of the issue is that our culture has shifted. It used to be prior to the Civil War that people primarily lived on family farms. And there were some people in cities, but many of those individuals were immigrants, people just coming into the United States. They kind of clumped together there. But now, that family farm idea, that notion of community,
yes.
has largely been splintered. And as a result, there are stressors and illnesses and problems that don't get handled and taken care of by those loving groups of people. So it gets right. shifted to psychiatry and psychology.
Yeah, this is an interesting thing to bring up because, you know, I've covered also healing on an economic level. And I've described, and Mike Adams and I did a whole big seminar event on this, the economic collapse. Now, a lot of people obviously are very frightened of it, not who would really embrace it typically. But I think the positive outcome would be somewhat of a forced return to some of those value systems where we work the land more because we're going to have to grow our more of our own food because the basic distribution methods will not be as viable or available. And coming together and helping one another as opposed to being all of these disparate individuals. And I'm all about individualism, but I like the freedom to choose to help others. But to bring the families together or even communities together, crisis tends to be the only way that it happens anymore. And, of course, going back to those values that are, let's say, thousands of years of history suddenly abandoned in the course of 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're just not prepared to deal with it. We just don't quite know, you know, how to handle it, and we don't have appropriate resources set up to help nurture people. And as I said, you know, I see children who come in, and some of them, you know, it's the ability to discriminate between, okay, there this kid has worms, or this kid has a food allergy. But this kid really has attention deficit disorder, which is a central nervous system issue that will be lifelong. And the trick is to be able to ask the right kinds of questions, get the right kinds of history, make sure you've done the right kinds of tests so that it's a process of elimination as well as
sure.
naming. That's good diagnosis.
Sure. And Dr. Cochran, you know, you, of course, holistically oriented, which I appreciate very much. But how many in the psychiatric field ever ask any of the clients about their bowel habits, for instance? Because, you know, the science is now supporting what I've been saying for years and observing as a homeopath for years, that much of the so-called mental and emotional disturbances actually start in the gut, whether it be a microbial or microflora imbalance or whether it be gastrointestinal inflammation. I don't think they're well suited to understand that, much less prescribe appropriately, either drugs or non-drugs alike. And so they're missing, I think, a vast majority, maybe, of a lot of mental disorders.
Well, again, the distressing thing for me is the schism, this idea that the body and the mind are separate.
Right.
Because anything that powerfully affects the body powerfully affects the mind, and anything that powerfully affects the mind powerfully affects the body. And that's why I like, again, practicing with a family physician, because we can know that whole person.
Right.
Understand that whole body. And that's what makes for whole body and mind healing. And, you know, that's what we're about. But there are not a lot of people, I'm sad to say, in fact, off the top of my head, I can't think of another practice like ours.
Yes.
At least here in California, anyway, where we put those pieces together and think about people, you know, in that kind of way. And the other thing that's kind of advantageous to our model is that we'll sometimes, Robert, get four generations of a family in our practice.
Wow.
So we have history like you used to have
right.
in your small-town community.
You knew people and you knew families. And, you know, I like the issue of obesity? Is it genetic, really, or is it that everybody eats the same way in a family?
Yes, it's absolutely about what we eat. And there is a predisposition to certain things as the body goes wrong. For example, some people, when they gain too much weight, are going to get high blood pressure. Other people are going to get metabolic syndrome, which is the tendency for your glucose to run high, which will make you gain weight faster. I mean, certain mm-hmm. bodies are more prone to that than others, but it all comes down to more's going in than is coming out.
Yeah, well, exactly. We call it in homeopathy miasms, these genetic predispositions, inherited tendencies. And we also know that the environment plays a major factor as to whether they ever play themselves out
exactly
or manifest
right.
here.
Yes.
And that's the
yes.
that's the kind of the genetic determinism obsession on one side of the medical profession to the environmental model, understanding toxicity, deficiency, etc., and how it impacts physiological health and, as you've indicated, emotional, mental, and I'd say even the spirit, the body-mind-spirit connection.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I advocate, and as we talk further, I'll probably say this ad nauseum, is this notion of whole brain thinking. The ability to consider something not just from your limbic system, not just from your emotional self, but from also your cortex, that you've thought through it, you've done a cognitive analysis, and then you come to an integrated decision or solution to the problem. So if something happens, you just don't react to it emotionally
right.
or go up in your head and just think about it. You consider it as a whole person with your whole brain, and then you can come to a holistic solution.
Nice. Well, we want that. That's for sure. And
yes.
of course, I look at the emotional reaction. Sometimes I see there is a programming involved, and we talk about programming within families, but on a larger scale, culturally, we've been programmed to react to certain words, phrases, or even events. And in such a way, we are manipulated purposefully oftentimes to drive us into what? When we come back to those so-called press releases parading as news where the CDC says half of Americans are mentally ill or will be, in Europe, 40%, the World Health, I mean, it's almost as if they're driving us to drug doctors because that's the paradigm that supports this kind of global corporate pharmaceutical approach to life, living, and everything. And it's so, it would be so rare, the need for those drugs, if we were truly open and open as a culture to look at the nutritional impact and the other factors that are involved in creating good mental, emotional health and that which contributes to bad.
Well, but you know, if you actually look at the article, once they got through with the shock headlines, which
yeah.
I have to say, I'm pretty tired of the media running around. The 24-hour news cycle is one of the worst things that ever happened to us.
Yeah, how long can they, and how many words can they say that over and over and over again? Like, you know, recently, you know, before the 9/11 things, they were saying, oh, there's a new credible, specific, but unverified or unconfirmed report. I was like, unconfirmed. How many times do you say unconfirmed? And they keep going, you're right in that regard. It's maddening in that sense, and it's contributing, I think, to the lack of good mental health.
It's fear-mongering is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
But if you go, again, into the body of the article,
sure.
they talk about only a third of those cases. They talk about 40% in Europe.
Mm-hmm,
but they say
mm-hmm.
only a third of those cases will receive therapy or medication.
Hmm.
So
are they happy about that or unhappy about that? I couldn't get a read on that. It's like, well, we need to get more and snare them in the net. Or what's your sense of what they're putting out there?
The sense of that is that the other two-thirds are people who need treatment, but
mm-hmm.
not necessarily medication.
Mm.
What they need is social support. They need to change their diet and lifestyle. They need to turn off their electronics. They need to take a real vacation.
Yes.
They need to spend time with their kids. They need to go out and smell the roses. If you're allergic, don't do that, but something else that would
well,
be.
Well, come see me first. We'll get rid of the allergies. Then you can go smell the roses.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you. You're such a help.
Yeah.
I wish I had you closer.
Well, I tell you, if I get out to your clinic, as you said off the air, we were talking about it, you've got an organic pie waiting for me, so there's a great incentive to come visit.
I do, my friend. I do. There's a pie with your name on it.
I love it. And not in my face, no. Hey, listen,
we
got to take a break. Dr. Cochran is my guest. I'm having a great time here. It is Advanced Medicine Monday on the Robert Scott Bell Show. A little later, Dr. Bittar will join us as well. And we're going to cover some more on this mental, emotional, spiritual, all of that stuff. And Dr. Cochran's well-versed in all of it. Enjoy having her on. Stay with us. We've got a lot more healing to do.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv.
This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the Natural Health Community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now, we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind. And yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com. And you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Oh, righty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
Continuing here on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Dr. Margaret Cochran, and if you haven't been to her website or checked out her clinic, it's well available to you at drcochran.com. That's drcochran.com. It may link you to .org. Don't worry, it's the right place. She says right there at the top about her, life is a process of becoming, but it is not always a becoming process. But what does that mean? What do you really mean by that?
What it really means is that life is something that's constantly evolving and developing, and you're constantly creating yourself every day. And sometimes, though, although you are in the process of becoming, it's not always such an attractive thing.
So sometimes life gets messy, is what you're saying.
Sometimes life gets very messy.
Yeah.
But from those awful things, you know, manure makes flowers grow.
Very, very well said. And of course, the you know, coming back to the soil, the terrain, I mentioned the gastrointestinal tract. So much of life depends on the microbial world. It's an amazing thing. We've got a lot of arrogance, as I can speak as a man, arrogant man, right? We like to conquer nature, destroy it. And it's like realizing how humbling it is once you realize, you know, without those little critters in our gut, we're done. We're done for. Mm-hmm. Not only is the mental health bad, but the whole physiological body collapses. So, you know, perspective on messy, what we perceive as messy was very normal to, let's say, somewhat primitive cultures. We have gotten also a little aseptic about it. When you say life gets messy, it's like, have we become overly sensitive to things, or is it because of the constant influx and input and the electromagnetic fields, all of that creating this tension and shakiness about everything?
Well, a big issue is that we are conditioned in our culture presently to be afraid of failure. And there's nothing more powerful and useful than failure. You have to have failure to achieve success. And so if you're afraid of it and you're constantly backing away from it or denying that it's happened, if I make a mistake, I have to pretend I didn't make it. You see politicians do that all the time.
When do you ever see that? I never see that. wait a second. You're right. No, between Obama and the Republic, yeah, they all do it pretty much. The only guy that doesn't do it is Ron Paul because he's not goofing on things. He's just straight up about all that he does.
Well, but most people are not. And as a rule, when you're under constant pressure to come up with a cover story, you know, change the facts around, change history around.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as in the whole Paul Revere thing, that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
The notion that, you know, you have to move the world around to suit whatever it is that you've said, that takes a lot of energy, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of energy that you could be using for all kinds of cool, constructive things in your life.
Yeah.
Spending time with your family, again, having fun, creating divine superfluousness.
Mm-hmm.
The notion that there are things that we do not need to survive that make life worth living, like art and music and theater and all those kinds of things. Without them, life is a pretty boring, pedantic exercise. But with those things, it's a very rich and beautiful existence as long as we remember to turn our electronics off once in a while.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we suffer in a large way in the West, is particularly with the way things have gone, where people program us from above and we think it's our own thoughts, that we've really got an imagination deficiency disease. You know, we appreciate when kids have imagination, unless they're in the schoolroom, then of course it's disruptive. And it's like a lot of our culture kind of drums that out of us. And independence and free thinking and free spirits are looked at somehow destructive to the order, the social order. And I want to see more independent free spirits. I want to see innovation. I want to see the things that are really exciting, I think. And what was good about a lot of the innovations that happened, and certainly the American consciousness, that the whole world looked to America and went, wow, you guys are awesome. I want to be like you. And now we got to go out with the force of a gun and try to make them like us. I mean, there's some bizarre things that have happened that have disconnected us from that reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also about this idea. I was sent in to observe this little girl who was having a lot of trouble in school, and I was kind of watching her, and they were doing a spelling lesson, and she was clearly not into it at all. She was not spelling. I don't know where she was, but she was not spelling. So after the lesson was over and everybody went out for recess, I went up to talk to her a minute, and I said, you know, you appeared to be pretty deep in thought there when they were going over the spelling words. Did you hear any of those spelling words? She said, no.
Huh.
And I said, so tell me what you were thinking about. She said, well, I was thinking about what was on the other side of the sun, you know, way over on the other side. And I said, wow, that's a fantastic thing to be thinking about. What did you come up with? She said, all kinds of stuff. So she drew this picture of all the things that she imagined, you know, were on the other side of the sun. And the trick is not to teach that child to shut down her imagination.
Yes.
The trick is to teach her to channel it so that she can use it in ways that she can be recognized for it and be seen as innovative rather than inattentive.
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful, because the balance in life, of course, there's always going to be stress as an adult. If you have to work, you have to find ways to support yourself or family or kids. But without that imaginative spark, I love that story, and, you know, finding a way to tap those talents. And so many of us have kind of distanced ourselves from the artistic side of ourselves. Not everybody can draw, not everybody can sing or write music, but there's so many ways to be artistic that are not acknowledged. It isn't necessarily even about hanging a painting in a place to have it sold. It's there's something more than that I'm looking to say, that plus factor to bring back into just normal everyday life here in the Western style of living.
No, that's really true. And, you know, you talk about not everybody being able to dance or draw. I wrote a book called Sylvia and the Magic Power Sticks, and it's a book about how shame is introduced into our lives, often in the guise of love. And this little girl, I had the book illustrated by this classroom of third graders. And so this little girl was assigned to draw a certain picture. And I saw her kind of sitting at her desk, and she wasn't doing very much, and she looked really unhappy. And so she said to me, I can't draw. I can't draw.
Mm.
And I said, really? And she said, no, I can't draw. I'm just no good at this. And I said, oh, okay. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I had my wizard hat with me.
Mm.
And I said, I'll tell you what. I have this hat with me. And I found that a lot of people who wear this hat can do amazing things. Now, you know, you have to decide if you want to wear it or not. That's totally up to you. But I'll just leave it here. And, you know, maybe you can use it. So I went away to work with some other children, and I turned around, and I saw she had the hat on. And she was scribbling furiously on the paper.
Yes.
So a little later on, she came up to me where I was, and she very solemnly handed me the hat and the picture, which is a beautiful drawing. And I said, "This is a wonderful picture." And she said, "Yes, you were right. It's a very powerful hat."
Wow. That's
so sometimes just giving people permission to do what they can do. Well, and that's a big part of mental health.
Listen, you were using creative imagination in that. I think it was wonderful. It's like the wonderment of a child in an adult body is really thrilling to me that, you know, there's evidence it can work. And not only is it practical. I mean, like you said, some people, well, no, that's not practical. It's very practical. I mean, look at how you were able to help this little girl, much less anybody coming to see you in that regard by utilizing things like this. And these are tools in our toolkit that the traditional schooling methodologies don't normally acknowledge, and I'm not even talking about grade school now, but even at the professional level. I mean, yes, there are some, but, you know, I talk to, you know, for instance, when I interview medical doctors, most of the thing the MDs that I interview on learned well after medical school because they're holistically oriented, because that's why I'm intrigued about them and I bring them on the show. I mean, you know, there's plenty of places for traditional MDs to talk drugs. This is not the place for that. But in this case, what we're looking for are those that have opened up to a different spark, a creative imagination, again, in their own practice. And they're the happier docs, because so many of the doctors that are not open to these things are, you know, are seemingly very miserable, not happy people. And, you know, I want to see all people. I realize that I can't control that. But, you know, the point is, my goal is, if there's anything, is to bring that spark back to those who listen to the show in whatever way they're sparked.
Yes. And joy is the thing that fuels us. It's the thing that sustains us. It's the thing that inspires us. And, Robert, when we've lost our joy, there's just not much left.
Yeah, that's a really interesting and very important topic, and I'd like to discuss that with you, the topic of joy here. We'll start out. We got a few more minutes before the break. But, you know, I'm a pretty easygoing guy. Some people would say ridiculously easygoing. I can find a way to get along with anybody. I'm telling you, it's just my nature to find something about a person that I like and just build on that and, you know, whatever. It just vibrate that level and just, you know, I want to pull something out of them that's fascinating, right? And then there are other people that are incredibly rigid, and I'm not making judgments here, but I'm wondering about the upbringing, maybe a militaristic viewpoint of life, how inflexible, or how they might become so inflexible that the sense of order is to the point of disorder, I guess you could say. And how do you balance those two?
Well, you know, you were talking about the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. That's the little diagnostic Bible that we use earlier. And I have a new suggestion for the DSM. No one's the new one that's coming out, DSM-5.
Right.
No one's taken me up on it yet, but I'm proposing unpleasant personality disorder.
UPP?
Yes, exactly. but a lot of people who express that, who get into that, you know, rigid way of being, again, it's all about the evaluation. You know, one person might come in and what you're seeing is someone who is delusional and paranoid, and we're looking at schizophrenia. Another person might come in and we're seeing someone who's been battered and bruised and is frightened and doesn't know how to go forward.
Right.
And the trick is to be able to discriminate between the two and decide, you know, when medications are appropriate and when they're not.
Unpleasant personality disorder.
Yes.
Okay.
You may have known one or two of those.
Oh, maybe. But, you know, my thing, I've been diagnosed with oppositional defiance disorder. I tend to not respect authority just for the sake, well, they're authority. Well, I find out, you know, come in my life and learn things. It's like everything I learned as a child and through much of my schooling out through university was wrong. Some of them were outright lies. Otherwise, were just deceptions. Some of them, well, we didn't know. We just thought we knew. We said we knew, and you were just supposed to listen. And I never took that very well. Now, I also find out out, I have orthorexia. This is unbelievable. They have a diagnosis for people like me who like to eat organic food, who actually read labels. I'm orthorexic because I care about the quality of my food and the food for my kids. So that's a disorder as well. You are too. Well, okay. Yes. We are orthorexics together, and that's okay. We're proud of that. But, you know, the point of the DSM-5, as you said, this diagnostic, and you call it a statistical manual, is that how you say it really designates and classifies. Doesn't this also allow for prescribing and reimbursement? Doesn't it play into that realm of the drugging as well?
Not really. It's not really about medication at all. Okay. What it's really about is if it's used skillfully and well, it gives those of us in the profession a common nomenclature, a language to be able to speak about certain disorders so that we can communicate with one another about what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not used well, it can be manipulative and labels can get applied to people incorrectly. But that's true of any kind of organizational system.
Right.
You know, it can be used well and kindly and help get people help, or it can be misused and you can manipulate and hurt people with it. So any system bar none, is only as good or as bad as the people administrating it.
Hmm. Has anybody proposed the unpleasant politician disorder? Because that would be another one I want to vote for.
No, but I love that. I'll send in an email about that one. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm here to help. And of course, if I get another pie, it's even better.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, let's take a break here and join our time today on Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Cochran here, Margaret Cochran. She's wonderful. And we'll tell you about the website again, link up to that, and we'll just discuss maybe a little bit more about the issue of joy. Shall we? Yes, let's. After this break.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
On bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Are you living a joyful life? Is joy part of your life? Is your spouse named Joy? I don't know. We're here at the Robert Scott Bell Show with Dr. Margaret Cochran, and she's a wonderful guest. We're having a great time here on Advanced Medicine Monday. Her website, drcochran.org. I've got that linked up in the show notes today at robertscottbell.com. And, you know, the issue of living joy, a joyful life. This is something that I would like to see would be a normal expectation. Of course, we started our discussion with the CDC and the World Health Organization supporting the concept that half of us are just problem. We got a problem, mental or otherwise. Now, whether it's true or not, Some of the issues, I don't know that they're really getting to the heart of, like you do as a clinician as well, Dr. Conner. You really kind of see it from a more holistic, worldly perspective. And when we talk about joy, it's not one thing. It's probably a little everything. But it certainly is, for me, finding our mission, our passion, our reason for being. And I think a lot of the depression that I've witnessed over the years, if it's outside of physiological toxicity and deficiency or somewhat in conjunction with it, it is people that, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know who I am. I mean, these are big questions. But to find joy, when the people that have the greatest joy, they say, I know who I am. I know what I'm here to do. And it's like, nothing can get in my way then.
I did a workshop recently with Sue Frederick, who wrote the book, I See Your Perfect Job. And she's an intuitive who helps people look at the different things that, you know, they might do. And I talked about the fears, the expectations, the inner destructive beliefs that we have that keep us from attaining joy. I can't tell you the number of times I hear in my office, I would love to do blank, but I can't because blank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always some reason why I can't achieve joy. Joy is an elusive thing. Joy is something that other people have, not for me.
Hey, how you say it's very frequent. I hear it as well, but is this something that you can say commonly, it always comes from blank, or in every case, it's so radically different where people get that, I would love to, but I can't, and this is why?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it can come from two different places, as we were discussing earlier. One is a neurobiological place where there's literally something wrong with my brain, and I can't see how to get where I need to go. Or it comes from a belief system. And it's very important, I think, to discriminate between ideas and beliefs. A belief is something that you hang on to, and no matter what data is presented to the contrary, you will reject the data in favor of the belief. Okay? An idea is something that's more fluid, and information can come in, and you can reassess what you're looking at without fear, without feeling attacked, and say, oh, okay, well, actually, I'm not going to change my idea, or yeah, I am going to change my idea because this piece of information makes a lot of sense to me, and I can now incorporate it and go forward. So if you're stuck in a belief state about yourself,
sure,
that you're a loser, that you can't do it, that someone, quote-unquote, like you can't do it, you'll be stopped dead in your tracks. But if you only have an idea that maybe it's not possible, and you get data that says it is,
yes,
then you can go forward.
Well, and people do change beliefs over their lifespan occasionally. Of course, it's not as regular that happens, but sometimes life's experience will do it. It sometimes can take a great brutality. You talk about life getting messy. Those messy events are the ones that really challenge our beliefs about the world and maybe about ourselves as to whether we deserve joy and happiness. Now, when I started my journey back to health, I was a standard American diet, American kid, you know, eat all the garbage, the fast food and all of that. And I was ill because of it in many reasons, medically, pharmaceutically grown. At the point of 24 years of age, being confronted with I didn't want to be sick. I could see the writing on the wall. I would have cancer in my 40s based on my family lineage, having it much later because they were healthy when they were kids. I was not. Mm-hmm. And I put all that together. I said, I've got to find something else. A homeopathic doctor came into my life from Belgium, started teaching me about things that I should have known. I guess we should all, but we don't. And I started detoxifying my liver. I began to eat organically grown foods, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so many that I've brought this up to, this story, and I said, listen, you've got to clean up what goes into your body. You can't expect to, you know, be at optimal when your body is dealing with a lot of toxin and garbage and such. But then they come back, well, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. And I find that as a pattern, not only in the food choices, you know, where I would say, well, you can't afford not to. No, you don't get it. I can't afford it. It's like, I couldn't afford it either at the beginning because I was a poor, not far out of college student when I began to eat organically. But when I took the leap and I said, okay, what the heck have I got to lose? I'm sick. I don't want to be sick. I'll pretend that I can afford it. And every month, and I invested 100% in organic food at the time when it was much more, well, it was more expensive and less available, actually, at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I found that I had the same amount of money or more left over every month. It was bizarre because the math didn't add up. How does this work? And it really was a powerful lesson for me about belief, how the belief in my worthiness, you know, that I had to believe, I had to really stretch to say, well, a creator or God will want me to be healthy. Why wouldn't he or she? I mean, this is what, and I've got, okay. And I let go and I did it. It's like, wow, it shattered previous beliefs about my worth.
But you see, what you said is so, so important. You said it's bizarre.
Mm.
And it's not.
Mm, right.
It's how the world works.
Yes, but it was the old way looked at it as bizarre. Now I accept it readily, but I'm looking back and I'm going, wow, we really have a strange view of the universe. These things that should normally and would normally occur, we treat as the abnormal.
Ooh, that's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
The notion that the universe is perceived by people in two ways. One is it's a place of plenty, and the other is it's a place of paucity or not enough. And that shapes the way we eat. It shapes our economics. It shapes our sense of self. It shapes everything, depending on which camp you live in.
Mm. Well, I see a lot of what's also known as poverty consciousness in our culture. And I'm not into accumulating stuff for the sake of accumulating stuff, but certainly to have everything we need to achieve what we need, what we're here to do. And I think that's abundance. And it may be a one Federal Reserve note or one gold coin, whatever it is, to achieve. It's being open to being worthy first and foremost, and then those things come into life. And healing for me is very important. That's what I've dedicated my life to do, to help others to do. And as I say every at the end of the shows, the power to heal is yours. I sincerely believe it with all of my being. And, how that healing comes to you may be different. That's why, even though I'm not a pro-drug guy, I would never stand in the way of someone who perceives that it is their best route to go. It's not my area that I would say, but I say, here, you go that way if that's what you feel. Fine. But to force somebody into something that they are not ready or want, it's not also something I believe is good, because it would rob me of my joy. And I found in doing so early on in my own family experience, that when I forced even my own sister to accept my beliefs, you don't need to go through that experience. That hurt. You don't need to go through that hurt. Even if it was for a good cause. I don't want you to suffer like I did. But the fact that I would steal that experience when she may have needed it brought me down. And I was weird at the time while looking at it, but now it makes perfect sense. It's how I learned the most valuable lessons to become a healer.
And that's why you, my friend, do not have unpleasant personality disorder.
Well, I'm working on it, but that's why I'm invited over for pie.
That's correct.
The motivation is powerful.
But what you're talking about is love, and it's the most powerful force on the earth, the most powerful healing force on the earth. You know, there comes a time when all of our bodies are going to die. There's no question. It is going to happen at some point, and there is such a thing as dying joyfully. Mm. It doesn't have to be this horrible thing. It is a transition. We leave our bodies, our energy continues, of course, but that transition doesn't have to be a horrible thing. But lots and lots of people are afraid to die. I see it all the time as I'm helping people go through that process. Birth is a door in, and death is a door out, so to speak.
Yes. Let me ask you about that, because this is a very important topic. I've heard it say that the fear of dying is really the fear of living. Where do you fit in that perspective?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Mm. When you're afraid to die, it means that you've been afraid of your life, and you're afraid to face that. Because where you get where you're going, I've worked with a lot of people who've had near-death experiences, and of course all the population that I've worked with has come back. They haven't stayed on.
Yeah, you don't
side,
typically see dead people in your office.
Not often, although occasionally. You never know.
It's a very important thing to recognize the people that have had those, what they call NDEs, obviously changed. But I'm curious to hear how your interactions with those people have been.
Well, the story that I get, and of course there are variations on it a little bit.
Sure.
But the story is always that they go to this light. And I have some amazing stories. It would be fun to come back someday and talk
about
them.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
But they go to this light kind of thing. And with deep brain stimulation, by the way, we've been able to induce that sense of love and warmth. And also, we've been able to get people to see a light. Mm-hmm. So there are many who have dismissed the experience as, that's just the brain dying.
Neurons firing.
And part of it indeed may be. However, what we haven't been able to induce with deep brain stimulation is the next part. And that's where you go to this place and there's this voice. And it's not male and it's not female. But it's this very loving, loving voice. And the voice says, "So, what did you do with it?" And all of a sudden, you experience your life again, moment by moment, just as you lived it. And you also experience it moment by moment from the perspective of everyone you ever interacted with.
Hmm. You know, one of my most fascinating guests I've had over the years, many years ago, I interviewed Michael Newton. He was the author of A Journey of Souls. And he talked about, you know, he was a regressionist, but he found that he inadvertently stumbled upon all of these experiences of people between lifetimes.
Yeah.
And it was a whole other realm. No one had ever written about that before. And there were so many common themes that were coming back and back. And he just, you know, cataloged them and ended up writing about them. Whether people have beliefs, again, we come back to that word beliefs about it or not, it is something that is fascinating to read and learn about. And it's seemingly helped a lot of people.
Well, you know, my standard line is I don't believe in anything, Robert, but I have lots of ideas. And over many years of practice, 30 years now, actually, I've seen many, many patients go through this. And when they come back from that experience of having felt their lives, you know, seen the movie that is their life and felt it from the perspective of everyone around them, you don't come back the same person. It changes you dramatically. It shifts your perspective, your sense of self, your sense of other. And what people report over and over again is they're not afraid of death anymore.
Yeah.
There's no reason for them to.
Dr. Cochran, I had an experience I remember as vividly as we speak right now, back in the sixth grade, where I was choking and literally passed out in school. And I ended up in this incredibly beautiful place, like this pasture in between mountains. I mean, I could smell the flowers. I could see the vivid colors. I could see the birds. I could feel the breeze. I could feel the warmth of the sun on me. It was more real than anything I'm talking about right here. And years later, I found a painting that was literally the exact place that I was in this experience. And I don't have time to go into the whole thing, but it was one of those things where it gave me an insight and experience. You talk about belief now. It's like, it isn't what I believed or not. It's like, this was an experience nobody could take away from me. That I recognized the continuity of life, that life was more than just this physical shell I was inhabiting. And of course, it stimulated my process of discovery and research into other areas as well. I don't often go into on the radio show here, but, you know, hey, you're pure joy on the air with me, Dr. Cochran, so I don't mind letting loose on this stuff because I think it helps move these, as you said, ideas forward, opening to other thought forms, that our life can be something different, far greater than maybe the limitations we've accepted to this point.
Beautifully said. And you're actually touching on one of my areas of research, which is felt experience. Felt experience is something that we do not have linear tools to measure. And unfortunately, there are people who will then dismiss it because it doesn't fit into that linear way of thinking. There are three categories of people. There are believers, there are true skeptics, and then there are disbelievers. And often disbelievers call themselves skeptics.
Yes.
But what they really are is people who say, I don't care what you present me with. If it hasn't happened to me, I can't taste it, feel it, or see it right now.
It's not real.
It's not real.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a very sad existence. But in the believer category who see, you know, things around them all the time, no matter what's going on, no matter what practical things might be happening.
Yeah.
And then there are people in the middle who really are skeptics, and they say, okay, well, you know, if that happened to you, it happened to you. And I'm not here to question it. I can't interpret for you what that means other than it was inspirational to you. It began your life path and your journey. It's something that gives you joy. It fuels you. It makes you realize the power and the importance of life. What's more important than that?
Yeah, well, exactly. And I also hearken back to Bruce Lipton, who I interviewed many times over the years, cellular biologist. He wrote a book about the biology of belief, the biology of complementary medicine. And here's a guy, you want to talk about living pure joy. I don't know if you've ever met Dr. Lipton, but he completely has rewritten the biological books because he recognized that our very beliefs about life itself alters our genes, alters the structure of life. And, you know, this gets into a whole other realm, but I had to bring it up because, you know, as I interview these people, they have the greatest joy. They're often the most far ahead in the frontier land that most people are going, where is that person? They're not even on this planet, are they? But yet they carry such a great joy and love of life that, you know, I'm drawn to them and I love bringing it out. And you carry a lot of that joy with you, and I appreciate you very much. And I love having you on board here. And we're about out of time. I can't believe it went so fast here. Advanced Medicine Monday special edition here with Dr. Margaret Cochran.
Well, it's been a wonderful journey, as it always is with you, Robert.
Well, also, I wanted to let everybody know to link up to the article that Dr. Cochran has written specific to our planned appearance together today. And I've got that at the blog at robertscottbell.com. She also writes for the Huffington Post as well, and you can check her out there. I've got all of those links up there for you. And if you're in the San Jose, California area and you want to see someone as wonderful as her, I can't promise you that she's going to have pie at the office, but Dr. Cochran is there. She's doing great work and helping lots of people, and I appreciate you very much.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, thank you for helping me rock the health world this hour. Dr. Bitar joins us for Advanced Medicine Monday next. In the meantime, I'm here to remind you simply this, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott the Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
ass. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott, the Bell,
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Well, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Carrying on the tradition that we have here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, our weekly visits with Dr. Rashid Bitar. We call it Advanced Medicine Monday. Dr. Bitar, I know you're running on just a couple hours of sleep here today. I'm grateful for your dedication to get the message of health, freedom, and liberty out to the people.
Great hearing from you, Robert. It's a wonderful Monday. Let's talk about all these exciting things that we discussed a few minutes ago.
Yeah, let's rock the health world, shall we? Now, we've been talking about the HPV shot, the human papillomavirus, this Gardasil and Cervarix. And interestingly enough, of all things, it entered the political arena within the last couple of weeks with a firestorm because Rick Perry has been hammered by Ron Paul, by Michelle Bachmann, these are running for president, about this so-called executive mandate. And Rick Perry's answer to this was, well, I hate cancer. I'm not kidding. This was his excuse. I hate cancer. That's why I did it.
Yeah, he's gonna regret saying that because now he's opened up a can of worms for himself.
Oh, certainly. And because we know in the real scientific realm, not the pseudoscientific realm, the HPV shot has never been proven to prevent cancer. In fact, it increases precancerous lesions within the cervical tissue of women who take it, girls who take it. And of course, 20, 30 years down the road, they might say, oh, well, we were wrong. We goofed. There is no prevention here that's happening. And on top of that, SaneVax has now proven 100% of the batches that they tested, I think 13 batches from four different continents and a number of companies, proven to have contamination from recombinant HPV DNA bound to the aluminum adjuvant. And Merck claims that that's not there. It is there.
Well, Robert, let's put aside what's been proven and what hasn't been proven and the studies of this or that. Let's just talk about the number of people that have already been injured permanently or have lost their lives because of this vaccine.
Yeah, and that's the significant thing because we come out with Michelle Bachmann. She ends the last debate, and a mother approaches her and thanks her for talking about it because her daughter was affected severely, and she claimed that within, you know, a short time span after getting the HPV Gardasil shot, her daughter became mentally retarded. And so now they have this bioethicist appearing on all the media outlets around the country, on CNN and local Minnesota outlets, saying, well, just show me this woman. I dare you. Show. We'll give you $10,000, Michelle Bachmann, to your charity. I mean, this is crazy stuff. It's like there's no science here. They're throwing out magicians to counteract this stuff.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, there's at least, from what I remember, as of January of 2011, I think there were 24 cases of young, healthy women under the age of 25 that were athletes, that were productive members of society, college students, that within 2 months, a month and a half, 2 months, died after getting Gardasil.
Yeah, well, you have very severe injuries. And, of course, this is the kind of thing where Rick Perry, as a governor of Texas, to mandate it by executive order, finding out his chief of staff became a lobbyist for Merck. He took $5,000 to $30,000. He's in the debate saying, well, I how dare you think that I could be bought for $5,000? Yeah, is it, well, $30,000, okay, he could. I mean, this is amazing what's happening out there. They're scared. And the Gardasil, you know, debate here is now going into an area where it never would. It used to be, like, here we have what we call alternative media source, right? Natural News, the Robert Scott Bell Show, Dr. Bitar, you appear here. We talk about things the old media doesn't cover. And so they used to be able to try to ignore it. But now they entered center stage in the presidential primary, and they are really panicking because they're losing the PR battle here.
Yeah, because actually this type of information, it is very, very difficult to put a spin on it. If you've got like a controlled show, like, you know, something like 2020 when they interviewed me, or some of these shows where they can limit your exposure and they can manipulate the recordings in the sense that they can record 6 hours and then only air 30 minutes of the best 30 minutes that supports their stance. That can't happen when you enter into a political debate, because it's going to get constant exposure. And that's what they can't, there's no way they can cover that. There's no way they can put a lid over that.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I have the article published from SaneVax posted as well to robertscottbell.com today. Those of you, check it out. Plus, of course, the links to Dr. Rashid Bitar, his book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, all the things. If you're just joining us for the first time here in Dr. Bitar, my gosh, you've got hours and hours and hours of catching up to do every Monday. And you'll see the links over there at naturalnewsradio.com to the archives of the Robert Scott Bell Show. Fascinating, fun stuff, engaging, entertaining, but things that will change your life for the better, save lives, reverse diseases such, empower you to heal the way you are designed by God to heal. That is our perspective here, and that's what we do every week. Now, the reason we're covering this HPV issue, as we know, the old media is discounting this and trying to ridicule now Michelle Bachmann. Say what you will about Bachmann, we give her props for talking about this. Certainly, Ron Paul is something, as a physician, you know, he's bringing up, they barely want to talk to him about health care in the debates. I mean, the only physician running this time, and he's up there defending our liberty. And after the last debate, I think, well, actually, no, this was recent. Dr. Bitar, you didn't see this. After the, he just won the straw poll in California. He got 50% of the vote. Rick Perry got less than about half of what he got. And afterwards, they were in backstage, they were interviewing Dr. Paul about the vaccine mandates. It was about the Gardasil, but also about the whooping cough. And he stands steadfastly in the parents' camp to say it is up to the parents to decide. The government should not be mandating these things. And who's at risk anyway? He actually said that. You're only putting your kid at risk. Why are you worried about everybody else? So he stood firmly from the standpoint of freedom of the family. This is wonderful.
Well, it's amazing that during the last presidential debate, they wouldn't even recognize Dr. Paul's momentum that he was gaining, the support that he was receiving. And I believe in the South Carolina primaries, they wouldn't even let him be included in the debate.
Well, in that last cycle through, they were really trying to discount him as a candidate. Now he's gaining well over 10% of the electorate, probably maybe close to 15. Who knows? It could be 20. Because oftentimes, this is another thing they don't consider when you talk about a lot of the polls that are done. These old polling organizations only call people that have landlines. How many people, young people in particular, have landlines anymore?
Yeah.
So you see how it skews the results anyway. It could be much, much larger in regards to the actual support that is out there, as we see in California, which is not known as a Republican enclave. To see Ron Paul gaining half of the, in the Republican straw poll there tells you there is a sea change. He is, in fact, I believe with all my heart at this point, the leading candidate now. But the old media is going to continue to pretend that he's kind of weird and out far outside the mainstream. Of course, the mainstream is toxic and polluted and believes in injecting people with toxic aluminum human papillomavirus recombinant DNA.
Besides all the other garbage that they believe in, Ron Paul's the only one that actually stands by the Constitution.
Yeah, imagine that. And as we talk about this medically, you know and I know and now a lot of our listeners know that we each have a Constitution as well. It's not just the federal Constitution that we ignore. We often ignore ours until we wake up and see, hey, the pharmaceutical perspective is to provide synthetic toxic substances that they pretend are nutrients, the way they basically treat us as, you know, having a lack or an absence or a deficiency of a drug or a vaccine, and that's the reason why we have disease. It's also a completely fundamentally flawed perspective on how health or disease occurs.
Exactly. It's ignoring the fundamental components such as the oxidative stress, the toxicity issues, and then, of course, you know, we're chronically dehydrated as a society, probably as a world society, not even our own national society, but I think as a world society, we're chronically dehydrated. And then on top of that, all the other aspects that come along with poor nutrition, where the food sources that we're having taken into our systems are devoid of the vital nutrients that are essential to make the metabolic processes perform in the normal manner. Mm-hmm. And the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, you know, this coming Wednesday, we plan to have a two-hour special about more of the science being revealed behind, or the lack thereof, behind the whole HIV causation hypothesis of AIDS. There are scientists now that have shown with the science that is published peer-reviewed that there has never been even viral isolation of the so-called HIV. I was interviewed by Russia Today many months ago now, about this whole issue of HIV and such, and I said, listen, if you read the inserts to the tests themselves, they say that it cannot be used to diagnose the presence or absence of the very retrovirus that claim to be detecting, and it can't be used as a diagnosis for whether you have or don't have AIDS. And what about all the people in Africa, they say? Well, how about the nutritional deficiencies there? How about the lack of hygiene sanitation there? Haven't people been dying of malnourishment for hundreds, if not thousands of years on that continent? What's new?
Yeah, that's a very, very good point.
So when we look at these things, we've got to look at it from a different perspective, a different eye. And I see this, Dr. Bittar. It's very exciting. And your book plays a role in here. The more people that read what you have written and have visited, you've learned from you, will recognize that they can see through what parades as news, but what is in fact propaganda to keep people, Americans in particular, but people anywhere they can convince, into a pharmaceutical slave-based paradigm.
Well, you know, I think history also shows that this is not something new. It happens to every democracy after, 200 years or something like that. We're playing part and parcel into the historical perspective and into what's happened always before. And that should allow us to be actually more cautious. I think it was Winston Churchill who said, to know the future, you must study the past, or something to that extent.
Yes.
And I think that if we just look back and look at, you know, history, it kind of shows us how great nations have fallen or great societies have fallen because of this very manipulation of the information. They mm-hmm. try to prevent the masses from knowing the truth. They have an agenda that they're promoting, whatever that agenda may be.
Yes.
And it eventually ends up failing. I mean, this is one of the reasons for limiting the government and where the people should be, the government should be afraid of the people, not the people of the government.
Sure.
These type of simple concepts, I mean, they're intuitively very indicative of where the balance of power should lie. And, of course, it's quite opposite right now in our society.
Yeah, another thing I think was fascinating in the last set of debates, you know, 4 years ago, there was that moment when Ron Paul had said blowback, talked about our foreign policy impacting on the so-called 9/11 events that occurred. And Rudy Giuliani said, I've never heard of that. How outrageous. You should take that back. And he didn't. He stood his ground. And he said, here, 4 years later, he did the same thing and said, listen, you've got to look at your foreign policy. Look at the CIA. They acknowledge blowback. Michael Shore, who was with the CIA analysis, he says, blowback. Do not occupy foreign countries. They don't like it. We would not like it here. What do you expect? This is where suicide terrorism, the vast bulk of it, comes from. And yet, there they had Rick Santorum, who's barely registering in the polls, saying he played the role of Giuliani this time. And Paul stood his ground and said it again. And the adults in America are starting to recognize the wisdom. It isn't blame America. I mean, there's a difference between the government that has been co-opted and corrupted and the people of America who are waking up to see that difference.
Well, there's less than 600 people that have caused America to fall into the abyss that it has and to misguide our nation, and those are the less than 600 people that represent the members of Congress and the executive branch of the government. I mean, this is, we're talking about, I got a great email, and this email basically talked about this, that there have been less than 600 people that have been elected mm-hmm. as officials to represent our views, and none of them have represented the true values of our nation, that have represented the people as they should have.
Right.
They're corrupt, they're liars, they cheat. And what would happen to any of these people, or people like this,
yeah.
if they weren't members of Congress or the chief executive branch? Well, they would yeah. end up in jail.
Of course. And last week I covered the fact that most of them are all on drugs. And, you know, not just the pharmaceutical FDA approved, but also the illicit street drugs on top of it. So we've got a real corrupt culture, a drug culture, and that's what we're countering here on the Robert Scott Bell Show today. Dr. Rashid Batar is my guest, as he is every week on Advanced Medicine Monday. Check it out as well. I've got all the links, including to his wonderful book, The Nine Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, bestseller on a number of lists, if I can remember, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and Amazon.
That's correct.
So we got lots more healing to do. Remember, healing is not just about physiology. It's emotional, it's mental, it's spiritual, it's economic, it's political, and we can do all of that right here. And if you ever want to call in with a question or comment, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. We'll be right back with more powerful healing after this.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
We live in exciting times as we're really seeing some revelations about, I don't know, the corruption, the lies that you referenced the lies last hour. Well, I say last segment. Here I am. I'm just traveling in between so many places. I hardly know what day or time it is. But we talk about the lies of the 600. There's also, when we talk about the government, the shadow government, the secret government, the bureaucratic oligarchy that responds to no one, that is elected, unaccountable. And we also have what we covered prior to 9/11, the CIA, the corruption of the secret organization. And all these conflicts of interest. Is it for the global corporations? Is it for the de jure United States? And all of these competing interests are happening. And so for me, the Gardasil issue is one aspect of that, but very revealing in that people are starting to see through those things that they never saw through. It's as if the curtain is being lifted. And the man behind the curtain, like that famous movie, The Wizard of Oz, is being seen as the guy that's pulling levers. And you're going, wait a second. You mean that wasn't, it was that guy? Yeah, so this is the kind of thing that we're living through an awakening, Dr. Bitar.
The only thing is that guy behind the curtain, the Wizard of Oz, was an innocent guy and he was actually a good-natured person and had a good heart. And unfortunately, that's not quite the
circumstance. It doesn't seem to be the same, yeah.
In our movie, right.
So if we have, let's say, people that do not have the same values that we have, and this has been a constant theme recently as well, wanting to say, hey, listen, we here, Dr. Bitar and I, and many of you listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show every day, much less every week when Dr. Bitar is on, have a perspective on life and value life and want to protect it and want to help people. But you have to recognize that there are people on planet Earth, and unfortunately there are a fair amount of them. I don't think they're in the majority, but there are enough of them in positions of power that do not value human life the way we do and would be willing to discard human life, including yours or mine, or if they could take advantage of that, if they become more powerful or wealthier. You may not have that perspective, but these other people do, and we have to be on guard for that.
Well, this is an interesting point you bring up too, Robert, because in conversation, there will always be people that refuse to acknowledge the very simple fact that you did. But, my counterpoint to that is, if that was not true, then why would we have lost so many, or why have we lost so many people mm-hmm. in wars? Because that's exactly what it is. Those people that have decided on wars don't value human life. You know, in the old times, there was a legend where, like, if there was a war that was to occur, and I think this was somewhere in Egypt or Greece or Roman, and I don't even know whether this is actually true or not. It may be part of mythology.
Yes.
But where two leaders that would face each other off with their huge armies would then, in order to spare lives, fight themselves among themselves. So the two would fight.
Yes.
And whoever would win the fight between the two leaders would win the war and the spoils of the war, and no soldiers would die except for one or the other leader. And, that's exactly how it should be, because there are people out there that don't believe what you just said, and it is the absolute truth. And if it wasn't the truth, then we would not have, throughout history, had wars and wars and wars. And do you know there's more people that have died in the name of God than in any other causation of death? I mean, that's ridiculous, because my God is a God of love and peace. As I know your God is, and as I know that all the monotheistic religions preach, yep. And yet more people have died in the name of God than any other cause of death.
Well, isn't it interesting? Humans tend to be very easily manipulated, whether it be religious leaders that lose sight of the real reason for the religious path, the spiritual life, as well as our governmental leaders who would say, okay, yes, there's a constitution, or, oh, if it's a religion, there's our Bible, let's not follow it. In this case, we see this corruption, and the people always very, let's say, easily corrupted, because we tend to want leaders. We want people to tell us what to do, tell us how to live, instead of living that life in a line with that, as we say, the Constitution or a Bible or whatever it is that you follow. And then we are, let's say, manipulated by our emotions or even our physiology, because if we can be drugged or if we can be starved, we can be thrown into these battles and become cannon fodder for those who are just looking for, what you said, the spoils of war.
Well, it's the nutritional depletion or any of these things that you talk about. It actually then converts the individual into fear.
Yes.
Into a fear mode. And then the fear is what they react to. And that's the worst place to come from. In fact, in the epilogue of the book, I talk about this, the two root causes of all decisions that people make.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it in the show. It's love mm-hmm. versus fear. And, I go into a hypothesis there and a theory, which I believe to be true now because I've tested it often. But if people made their decisions, if they chose to take their actions based upon love, love of themselves, love of others, love yes. of somebody else, something else, something higher than themselves, whatever it is, if it's based on love versus based upon fear, the fear that they themselves feel or the fear that they have of what may happen, if they just change that simple component in their decision-making process, make their decision based upon love and not fear, this world would be a different world.
Oh my gosh, would it be? I mean, I've often measured my life in terms of not economics necessarily, because that's only one short measure and that's fleeting, comes and goes. But how much love is in my life, whether it be from the family or whether it be from friends? How much have I also given of that love? And that, to me, is something far, far greater. And I think part of the economic downturn, the turmoil, all of this, I have to believe, is driving us back to that which is really important as opposed to the illusion of what's important.
I couldn't agree with you more, because I believe that's exactly what it is. As I've said before the sky becomes beautiful blue and the grass becomes a rich green, you have to have that storm that first comes through and washes away all the debris and provides that water to clean everything. And that's what we call the storm, or in medicine we call it the Herzheimer's response, the healing crisis.
Right.
And I think that's what we're going through as a, not only as a nation, but as a global society, that we're going through that Herzheimer's response. We're going through that detoxification. And it's a good thing, and that's why we should celebrate it and embrace it and not resist it.
Yeah, to me, it's very exciting, although, as the human that I am, I mean, I get emotional about it. We talk about it. We'll get angry of things and see outrageous things. But at the same time, coming back to a balanced perspective to realize that there's a higher purpose for it all, which is very difficult, especially when tragedy hits so close to home, not just as a country or a nation or a state or as a community. I mean, people, lives are lost all the time. The question is, are they done or lost through deception? Through purposeful lies and deceit, as it, come back to the HPV Gardasil issue, where, they're sending out magicians to protect their, belief system, to challenge anybody who would question, or even mothers who say, listen, I saw my kid healthy one day, got the shot, the next day they were gone. They were alive, but they were gone.
I've heard this type of statement, and I'm not talking about this socially or during conversations or during lectures. I've probably heard that tens of thousands of times, but I've heard that from my own patients literally more than 1,500 times, because I've treated more than 1,500 children with autism now in our own clinic.
Right.
And over the last decade, I have heard this story over and over and over again. It all started 24 hours after the shots. It all started with a high fever that my child got immediately after the shots. And we started seeing the deterioration within a couple of weeks, couple of days, within 2 months that they weren't talking. Whatever the case is, there's the little variables, and everybody's going to respond differently to different types of onslaughts. But the point is that the history has always been the same. I think that I may have had maybe 3 to 5 people, less than a half a dozen people that, and I can't even picture them right now. I just know that very, very infrequently has a person said, no, I don't remember there being a correlation with the vaccines.
Wow. That, out of 1,500, less than a half a dozen. I mean, I'd say that's pretty solid in that regard. And of course, you've talked about and you've written about extensively what vaccine induced brain encephalopathy. How would you determine it for people to understand in common language?
Well, essentially, the you know, if you just follow this logic, and a vaccine is supposed to provide you a signature, if you will, off a pathogen that could cause a severe disease. So what we do is the vaccine world believes that if you take that substance and you attenuate it, you kill it, and then you put it into the body. Some vaccines are attenuated, meaning that they're severely weakened, and they're put into the system in order to have the body get the signature block and then build antibodies so that in case in the future it's ever exposed to this pathogen, it's got that memory within the immune system so it can fight. That, I mean, that's about as basic as I can break it down. The problem is that in that attenuated virus, in that signature that they're introducing, that vaccine, they've got all these toxic substances that first and foremost reduce the effectiveness of the immune system. They depress the immune system. They're immunosuppressive. In other words, they're suppressing the immune system. And now you look at the fact that if you're suppressing the immune system during the actual inoculation, and yet the purpose of that inoculation, of that vaccine, is to give your body the memory that it needs in order to fight, then how can you create that memory for the immune system if you're depressing the immune system at the time of introducing the signature block? And then on top of that, you know, you follow this logic, we know that the first 6 months of life, in fact, in all species, I don't know what the exact term is in all species, but in humans, the first 6 months of life, the entire dependency of the immune system comes from the mother's immune system.
Right.
So that's the, in fact, in cows, farmers know that you got to make sure that the first 3 days, you know, you get the baby's, the colostrum from the mother, right?
Yeah.
And this is with all species, but we know that in humans, for the first 6 months, your immune system is not developed. The baby's immune system is not developed enough to do anything on its own until the first 6 months of life. Well, if that's the case, then why are we giving children 5, 6, 10, 20, 30 different types of vaccines in the first day or first 2 days of their life on the planet? And on top of that, we know that the body's system to eliminate these toxicities, like mercury and like many of the metals, which is primarily the alimentary system, the gastrointestinal system, and we know from an embryological standpoint that the actual development of the gastrointestinal system is not even complete till the first 6 months of life is over. For the first year of life.
Right, right.
Now, so we're basically giving a system a poison with a known pathogen, the poison meaning the preservative and the pathogen meaning whatever we're supposedly vaccinating them from.
Right.
During a period when the body can't outprocess that poison, so we're suppressing the immune system and giving it when the immune system can't even do its job by learning because it hasn't fully developed to do the job that it's supposed to be doing. So, I mean, anybody who understands basic science, they start seeing the flaw in this whole concept of vaccination. Because if that's truly what their agenda was to really help, they would have already said, well, nobody should be vaccinated within the first two years of life. You know, secondly, the most important thing is to enhance the nutrition of the mother and enhance her system physiologically so that she can be of the strongest and the fittest immune system that she can possibly have, so she can pass that on, the IgM immunoglobulins, to the fetus through the placenta to make sure that the baby is the healthiest. And they would make sure that they're not adding toxic substances to these very signature blocks that are supposed to be helping us.
Well, exactly. And this is why we're raising this issue again. It needs to be said. More people are coming on board and understanding this. And, of course, the idea of bypassing the immune system of the gut, the natural development, in order to elicit an antibody response. I've talked about it extensively, that what's the good of having an antibody if you have no immune system to act against what you recognize? It's absurd. Oh, man. Take a deep breath. We're going to take a quick break here. Dr. Rashid Batar is here on fumes today. A couple hours of sleep, but he's right there with us, and I appreciate him very much. And you can check him out online. I've got all the links at robertscottbell.com. You can check out medicalrewind.com and more. And, of course, 866-939-BELL is the number, and naturalnewsradio.com. If you're listening to us there right now, enter your email address, and you will get your daily alerts, including all the special links that we do when we talk to Dr. Batar on Advanced Medicine Monday. Coming right back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. all-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us, 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's one world, W-H-E-Y.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Ryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's
Scott,
a brave
Scott.
And a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Advanced Medicine Monday continues here with Robert Scott Bell and Dr. Rashid Bittar. Dr. Bittar, you know, you're laying out some things in such common sense fashion and perspectives that, as we know, the people who oppose this end up looking quite foolish. It's embarrassing to them, which is why they have to resort to magicians and you know, basically ad hominem attacks. They yell and scream and stomp rather than engage in, you know, rational debate on these issues. You know, case in point is we started today's show about the attacks on Michelle Bachmann or even attacks on Ron Paul, who simply rationally approaches these things and said, why not look at cause and effect? Why not assess these things honestly and openly without the agenda to keep people enslaved to a thought form that is not based or rooted in science? You know, we know even if we talk about the human papilloma virus or any virus, we have substances, botanical and otherwise. We've talked about silver that can counteract viral replication. But I think, you know, we understand a fraction of what viruses really are. I think in the future, we're going to look back and say, well, viruses really even weren't the cause of disease either. And that's not advocating for, you know, just ignoring them completely. But I think there's a lot that we don't understand because we've adopted as a culture, as the West, as medical science, the germ theory is the cause for everything. Whereas you and I, we focus on the terrain, the environment, the milieu to explain things.
Well, absolutely, because the virus, if you look at the virus, I mean, we are a viral system. The way our DNA evolves, the way we have the DNA adducts and the polymorphisms, it's very similar to how a virus acts. You have information that's, you know, taken out, put replaced within the DNA. And so I believe, and actually this was a concept that was introduced to me by one of my mentors, mm-hmm. who is no longer with us in this realm, and he passed on last year. But, you know, he made a very profound statement to me years ago, and that was that we are a viral system. And he showed this to me and explained it to me, and he's an immunologist. But what's interesting is that it's actually when you start looking at how our bodies evolve, how humans evolve, it is through the same method as how viruses reproduce. And so I completely agree with you that the virus is really not the problem. It is that terrain. And, you know, if this was the case, if virus was a problem or mm-hmm. bacteria was a problem or any of these things were really the
yes.
root problem, then humans would have been extinct along with the dinosaurs yes. and everything else, because exactly. that's obviously not how we evolved. But yeah, we evolved because of our ability to master our environment. Mm-hmm. And in the last 50 years, you know, 75 years, and especially in the last 20 or 30 years, we have essentially been poisoned as a world society, slowly mm-hmm. but surely. Everything from what you breathe, what you eat, what you drink, even what you hear, what you see, what you feel, the spiritual aspect, is we have been toxified and toxified over and over, if that's a word. Since yes. you make up words, Robert.
We do, absolutely. If I don't make up at least one word a day, I feel like I haven't accomplished anything.
Exactly. So, you know, that that we talk about detoxification all the time, but the yes. opposite of it is to introduce that toxicity. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what's happening to us all the time. And it's most incumbent upon us to make sure that we take safeguards to make certain that our families and our loved ones and ourselves are protected from yes. this. And how do we protect ourselves from these constant sources of toxicity? By becoming aware and by abstaining from those things, those activities, those actions that could lead to toxicity. And a right. lot of these things are very, very simple things, like, you know, not getting mercury fillings in your mouth, or mm-hmm. not eating certain types of food that we know are not good for us, or things that, you know, a inferior piece of machinery like a gasoline engine can't deal with sugar, so maybe we should start looking at that and see, you know, how much sugar are we taking into our bodies, and
yes.
making sure that when we're pumping gasoline in our cars, we look the other way, we're not breathing that stuff in, and we do the simple things that are necessary in order to detoxify ourselves right. as best as we can, even if we don't have access to a doctor, and making sure our water is cleaner, making sure that our milk is, you know, not poisoned. I mean, I talk about this in the book about the different types of milk, and maybe we can't control what type of protein is in the milk in here in the United States, but certainly we can control the quality of that milk we're drinking, and things like pasteurization and things that, mm-hmm. such as abstaining from raw milk, and so many things that our forefathers did, and that, you know, before that for thousands of years mankind did, have helped us to live on this planet and prosper. And yet in the last, you know, 50, 60 years, we have higher rates of chronic disease than ever in the history, a recorded history of yes. mankind. And then those illusionists, as you pointed out, Robert,
yeah, yes.
try to make it that, oh, well, we have better methods of determining disease now, and that's why we see more incidence of these diseases. It's not really that we see more. It's always been there. Our diagnosis, our epidemiological data is now sounder and more secure, and that's why we can see a higher occurrence of disease. It's really not the case. That's not what we're seeing, which is a bunch of horse manure. You and I both know
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Well, we talk about the terrain, and it's so important to understand this, because the idea that, as you said, that bacteria, viruses are out to get us all the time. I mean, it's a wrongheaded notion. We survive because we've learned to basically live in a state of symbiosis, so to speak. We rely upon the microbes in the gut for immune function, for digestion, to make nutrients available to us, much like plants in the soil also rely upon a lot of these microbes or microbial life forms. And I see, you know, the increased viral replication issues is cell survival, you know, in a
Absolutely.
Sense it's the cells
right.
are spewing this
evolution.
Stuff out. Yeah, and so the more we intoxicate ourselves, the more we're going to say, oh, the virus is going to come up. And of course, movies like Contagion only endorse the idea that the virus is just waiting to get us. It's going to sneak, oh yeah, let's get them now. And of course, it's nonsense. We continue to put these toxins in our body. Our body cannot excrete them readily, appropriately, and then survival mechanisms kick in at that cellular level, and viruses are these things that we then identify, and we say, aha, the cause is if the firemen who are putting out the fire are the cause of the fire, right? Correlation,
exactly.
not causation.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not using my analogy. Yeah, that's exactly mm-hmm. right, because mm-hmm. if you look at what's happened historically,
with this entire issue of vaccinations and the CDC saying that you must be vaccinated and the shortage of the flu vaccines and this hysteria that's made up and this propaganda that's fed out to the public as if it's M&Ms and the fear mongering that's done. All that stuff, if you remember what happened with H1N1,
yes,
the entire craze that was the people were tried to almost like they were manipulated. They were trying to be how do I put it? It was almost like they were trying to create a shark feeding frenzy,
yes,
and panic among the population. If you remember, Obama got on the air and made a comment that he estimated, or it had been estimated by the government, that 60 million United States citizens would be suffering from this vaccine. They were planning on these massive deaths.
Yes.
And the public responded, some very in a very relaxed manner. They laughed about it because they thought this was ludicrous for the government to say this. And some people, like the Washington State Nurses Association, where they filed a lawsuit in Supreme Court, and I think there was one also in New York City,
yes,
where the Nursing Association filed a lawsuit and went all the way up to the highest court of the land to defend their right to abstain from certain vaccinations. I mean, they're worldwide. I think the German government, if I remember this correctly, was willing to pay for 95% of the cost of vaccinations for the H1N1, but the public refused only 3% of the
right.
German people. Is that right?
It was very, very minimal. It was embarrassing. And, of course, we're seeing more of that. And I think this is the time of desperation where they pull out whatever big guns they have left, like Hollywood movies, you know, to
right.
try to kind of force people into that. Oh, wait, you know, don't leave the farm yet because this one's going to be the big one.
Right. And the whole thing is, Robert, that if there was, you know, the point that I wanted to make was that this, the way that they've done this, the way that they've created this propaganda, think about this for a second. The reason that people would have died, that those statements were accurate statements. That is exactly what would have happened. 60 million Americans would have died, and worldwide millions of people have died if they had bought into this line of horse manure and gotten vaccinated. It was the entire vaccination program that would have caused the demise that they were using as propaganda to get everybody into a fearful mode to take the vaccines.
Right.
And this is what I don't know whether a lot of people realize. That's one reason that I make the comment. And again, you know, some people say, well, that's just conspiratorial, or that's ridiculous. But the fact of the matter is this. It was the mere acknowledgement of the public and the realization of the public that most of this information was just garbage and propaganda, and they laughed about it and they didn't take it, or
yeah,
they refused to take it, or they filed lawsuits to prevent themselves from having to take it. The point is, they didn't take it. In fact, in California, there was a case where the media picked up. I don't know whether this is mainstream media picked this case up.
Uh-huh.
And they were making a huge deal about these 64 cases of H1N1 death that had not been reported nationwide. I mean, 64 people that came to the same hospital, and they died. They had the diagnosis of H1N1 and they died, and nobody was talking about it because here's this huge endemic flu and, you know, massive number of deaths already from this flu. Nobody's covering the story. Why not? Blah blah blah. And then all of a sudden, the story went dead. Now, the only reason I knew about this was because this was about the time when I was taking care of that Redskins cheerleader, and there's some other
right.
things that were
Desiree
going
Jennings,
on.
Yes.
I'd put out some videos myself about this whole issue of the vaccinations. All of a sudden, that story went dead.
Yeah.
Do you know why that story went dead?
Well, I can speculate, but do you have some definitive on it?
Well, from what I understand, the reason that the story all of a sudden went dead, and the reason that mainstream media all over did not pick it up, and only the local Californian news media picked it up and then all of a sudden killed it, was because all 64 people that died of H1N1, this mm-hmm. grave disease that was going to kill all of humanity.
Don't tell me they were vaccinated.
All 64 had been vaccinated. They had been vaccinated for the H1N1.
No. We can't reveal that because, you know, if in fact that wasn't the case, that would have been front page news worldwide and would have,
absolutely.
You know, basically defended their perspective that everybody
absolutely.
Needs to get it. But this would have destroyed it utterly.
If it had been 6 people that died without getting the vaccine, they would have probably made a huge
deal. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and as we've seen the propaganda on whooping cough as well, they try to pretend that the kids with whooping cough, you know, didn't get vaccinated, but the vast majority of them have been. And of course, these are the things that, you know, we come back to Congressman Dr. Ron Paul. He says, who is at risk if your kid doesn't get vaccinated? If you're under the belief that the vaccines really prevent disease, is it not you and your family? But then they say, no, but they could spread it among all the vaccinated people. Well, if they could, then the vaccine
supposedly protects them, right?
Which they admit, basically, based on that fear, that their vaccines do not work for what they're designed for, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to be back to wrap up Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Bitar, enjoying immensely, as I do every week, our discussion here and talking about things and in ways that can never be discussed or uttered in the old media. We do it here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, streaming through National News Radio. And also say hello to the Prepper Podcast Network, who picked up the show every day as well, prepperpodcast.com. Thank you. And all of you listening around the world, there are no cheap seats. They're all good here, and the information does not go bad. That's why we don't use any synthetic preservatives. Not necessary. We're coming right back with more Dr. Bitar after this.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Tell your friends, tell your family, tell anybody who'll listen. Come and listen to Robert Scott Bell Show every week, especially our Advanced Medicine Monday segments with Dr. Bitar. Also, if they have not already, if you have not already gotten the 9 steps to keep the doctor away, what are you waiting for? A life-changing, life-affirming, empowering, wonderful book, engaging, entertaining, funny at times. And Dr. Bitar, I'm glad that we have that living book. That is you in that case every week here doing what we do.
Well, Robert, I appreciate that. The book exceeded all my expectations, and it's been a blessing. So I appreciate you saying that.
Well, the gift of healing keeps on giving. That's what we're doing here. And we talk about 9 steps to keep the doctor away. We talk about 100,000 of them, because everything we're referencing here is trying to empower people. And we recognize, too, there is a role for doctors and teachers and healers as such. And, you know, we go to plumbers, we go to whatever. But the point is, wouldn't it be a better place if we were all learning at the same time what others knew, so that we could be empowered and basically pass on that knowledge like it used to be from generation to generation? It wasn't that it was always kept secret from us, as we have devolved into this idea that there are only secret societies of doctors that know stuff that no one else can know. We know that everybody has access to this, but it's now becoming the point of, we got to remember that.
Well, I would like to take this opportunity to say something that my nurse practitioner really, really doesn't like me to do, but but it does come across very
well and effectively to patients, and that is, you made the analogy, we go to plumbers and we go to, you know, other types of professionals when we need help. And mm-hmm. so what I would like to equate to going to a doctor would be, you should go to the doctor when you're really sick and you need some help. But unfortunately, most people end up going to the doctor because they've got these problems that they think is sickness or disease.
Right.
And in actuality, all they have done or have not done is that they need to flush the toilet. But we're not taught that. So you're calling the plumber every time you need to flush the toilet. And right. flushing the toilet may sound like a bizarre analogy, but it's not, because it's detoxifying. You're cleaning your system up. When you flush the toilet, it eliminates everything. And if you know how to eliminate properly, and these nine steps are essentially just giving people a basic understanding of where they need to stay, what things they need to stay away from, and certain yeah. steps that they can do themselves in order to help make sure that the toilet is being flushed, if you know, for lack of a better analogy. The point is, if you had to call the plumber every time you use the toilet and you need to flush it, it would become very expensive, which obviously it has in our society. That's one reason the medical system is failing.
Right.
But it would also become very problemsome. And, you know, if the plumber keeps on creating this illusion that he's got some kind of big secret and you got to call him every time.
Yes.
A lot of these steps are just simple things that people, you know, taking care of your own health, prevention, these are simple concepts that you don't need a doctor for. And in fact, it may be better. Whenever I hear a person say, I haven't been to a doctor in 50 years, I'm like, well, that's why you're 75
that's why you're
years
so well.
Old. So
yeah.
Bill and hey.
You know, I love that analogy. I mean, every time we get together, we come out with some more things. And I know there's, like I said, there's a wealth of knowledge and communication out there. This is something that's so exciting to reveal. And that analogy is great. It's like the way we go to the doctor today in our Western culture, and this is why Obamacare came up and why even before the medical monopoly and in all the insurance schemes it played out, people think they need to see the doctor every time, like a plumber, every time you flushed the toilet. Oh, I got to call the plumber for that. You're right. We've got to clean. We've got to start with that detoxification, and that's on every level. And we talk about it in terms of physiology, of course, with normal movements out of the body. But remember here, we also cover it on much, I would say, higher levels in terms of mental thought forms, emotional issues as well. That's why we cover economics and politics as well, because we've needed to detoxify some of these thoughts that were placed there by others who wanted to keep us manipulated under control and keep us calling the plumber every time we flush the toilet.
And we need to be aware of those who are promoting the concept that we take our own health into our own hands, like the Dr. Ron Pauls and mm-hmm. Michelle
Well, Bachman, in this case, I don't know that she knows as much as we know or Dr. Paul does. But again, we give her props for being willing to bring it up. I don't know if she's regretting it at this point. She is being slammed by parents right now in a good way to say, hey, listen to my story. Listen to my story. We'll see where she goes from here, if she's going to be true to it. But we're going to give her the benefit of the doubt at this point. But as we know, Congressman Paul has been talking about the same message for 30 plus years.
And I think that if she's being slammed with this by parents – talking about their stories,
yep.
hopefully she's going to become more aware of the issue, because a lot of times, you know, people just haven't been touched with it themselves,
right.
Although you'd think it's kind of hard in today's society not being touched with some of these things. One out of less than 70 children, I think it's one out of 67 kids now in the United States has autism. So it's difficult to really imagine how a person could not have been touched with it. But hopefully she'll become more aware. And as long as she's getting slammed and she's having to defend herself and Dr. Paul keeps on talking about this, it keeps it in the forefront. It keeps it in the media, which in the popular media, in the traditional media, which it really hasn't. They've done nothing but subdue it. And anytime it does come up and rear its head, you know, they slam it down or ridicule it or make it minimize it.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's a great service, just the fact that they're talking about it and it's getting into the consciousness of, you know, the perceivable consciousness of the general public.
Yeah, well, exactly. And Dr. Bitar, of course, I don't need to tell you, but I'll tell everybody in the audience, Dr. Bitar here is doing tremendous work in continuing to, you know, move this information forward, outward to the rest of the public the best way he can. And he's done it with his sensational book as well as his weekly appearances here. He gets interviewed. He goes out to medical conferences and speaks as well. And I'm just grateful that we get to do this every week because, man, it just moves it forward. It's exciting. It's engaging. And, of course, you know, occasionally we get to laugh about some of these things. And, of course, we have to cover some tragedies as well. But these are the things that are helping us to get where we want to go, and, you know, coming out of fear, going back into love, where we started this discussion.
Well, it is something that I appreciate your ability and your desire to take on this not so popular venue 20 years ago, 15 years ago, whenever you got started in this. And I know for the last, 11, 12 years, you've been doing this on a very consistent and regular basis. And a lot of people, either one, don't have the patience for it, or two, they don't have the resolve for it. So it's refreshing to be with somebody who has withstood the test of time and continued the message, and now it's becoming more and more popular.
Yep, they're coming around to recognize it. So this is fun. Dr. Bitar, remember, drbitar.com. I've got all the links up at robertscottbell.com. Also, this week I'll be traveling a lot, so I've got a mix of really sensational interviews with a lot of great guests and health and healing experts. This week, of course, there's a special two-hour AIDS episode. We're going to cover the fallacy of the science behind AIDS and this empowering and powerful message that is not heard anywhere else as well. And Dr. Bitar, once again, it's great to be with you every Advanced Medicine Monday as we continue to elevate the consciousness to the best of our ability.
It's always good to be here, Robert.
And so we sign off today for Advanced Medicine Monday, but remember, the healing continues 6 days a week on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And I leave you with this: the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.